Brought to you by Toyota. Let's go places. Welcome to Forward Thinking.
Greetings, everyone. Welcome to Forward Thinking. I am your host, Jonathan Strickland, joined by my fellow co-hosts who are going to introduce themselves now.
Hi, I'm Lauren Vogelbaum.
Hi, I'm Joe McCormick.
And these two people are part of the brain trust that keeps Forward Thinking going. We are looking at topics that are going to be really important to us in the future, how they're going to affect us as human beings. And one of the things that we wanted to talk about was this concept of the Internet of Things. Now, Lauren, if I came up to you and I said, what is this Internet of Things concept? I just don't understand. How would you describe it?
Well, basically, it's the idea that all of the devices that we use, not just our computers and our cell phones, but also our cars and our houses, are going to be communicating with each other in order to provide the best environment possible for every human person.
Right, yeah. This idea that we're going to have ubiquitous sensors around us constantly gathering data, crunching that data in some sort of way, and then using the data in different ways, whether that's to serve it up to us, saying, oh, by the way, your energy usage this month has been such and such, or, oh, by the way, you've burned X number of calories because you did all this running around today, or it'll actually make devices behave in a very specific way, and it kind of takes human interaction completely out of that equation so that your thermostat, for example, might adjust itself based upon the weather and maybe even your own body's temperature. So it's kind of this neat idea of technology shaping the world around us. Joe, why don't we talk a little bit about what the video kind of covered and what we're going to cover today?
Okay, well, in the video we were talking about how we focused a lot on how the Internet of Things will change the end user experience of the world. And by that, I mean just the way the world looks to you and me.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked about customizable environments, which means that, you know, the room in your house might have any number of hidden elements that are conspiring to make your life more comfortable and easier, and they're taking data to learn what you like and how to fit you best. So
mm-hmm.
this could be lighting and music, environmental control, like you were saying.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought in this podcast one thing that would be interesting to talk about would be an even more invisible aspect of how the Internet of Things will change society, which is – how it will change efficiency in the processes we don't always see in industry, in
mm-hmm.
Civic systems.
Sure.
In
yeah.
healthcare and anything.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, we're talking again about devices that are taking endless measurements and then sending that data back in some fashion to make our lives easier. And in manufacturing, that's a very simple way of changing huge outcomes. I mean, manufacturing processes have changed quite a bit ever since the Industrial Revolution, but the idea of the Internet of Things could bring that to an even more precise level.
Oh, right. When you have machines that have computers at every single stopgap of the process that are, you know, calling home and telling you what the machine is doing, how efficient it's being, how fast the motors are running, how fast the product's being turned out, then you can use that to completely optimize everything, every step of the way. And furthermore, have that machine tell you when it's about to break.
Yeah, which of course would be a huge benefit. You know, if you already know that you need to do some preventive maintenance on a machine before it breaks down, that can mean the difference between a profitable month or a disaster.
Mm-hmm.
And Joe, you had a story you were telling us earlier about kind of – you gave us a scenario where this makes sense.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, you just have to imagine you're in a furniture factory.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you're the floor manager there. And you produce a certain kind of upholstered chair. Now, you know, for a while it's been taking X number of hours to complete the production from, you know, when you first get the parts until when you ship it. Suddenly, this month, it's taking twice as long. Now, in lots of factories, you might have no idea why. Because we've got humans dealing with the machines at every step along the way,
mm-hmm.
and you have no devices to really track the
right.
difference in how long it takes to produce this thing and give real-time analytics and feedback. With the Internet of Things, each particular cog along the production line is both uploading and downloading information. So the production line itself is teaching and learning.
Right. So then by the – if there is something that's causing a slower production than normal, you can actually see where the bottleneck's occurring and then – or if it's an intelligent enough system, it anticipates that and fixes it so that you never have that problem to start with.
Mm-hmm.
It's definitely something that could impact us down the line. This is something that, you know, anyone who works in that industry, obviously it would affect them. But if you're asking, all right, well, how about the average person, the consumer, how would that affect this person? Well, increased efficiencies could mean that you see prices start to come down on products because mm-hmm. it takes less money to produce them. And as competition rises, that could see that the prices come down. You know, you don't have to worry about that profit margin being affected because the cost of production and has gone down. So you can actually lower the cost to the consumer. That doesn't always happen, obviously. We have industries out there where the cost of production's come down. Let's keep the price the same way. But it's something that could happen.
Sure. And if it happens in your industry, then it means that you get to hypothetically make more money. So that's
right.
Not a bad thing either.
No, that tends to make shareholders very happy,
mm-hmm.
as it turns out. And you were mentioning, Joe, also about the civic uses. One of my favorite illustrations of the Internet of Things is the idea that with the true implementation of the Internet of Things at its most pervasive level, traffic doesn't exist.
It can be completely automated. So that, for example, if you live in, say, Atlanta, like the three of us do, and have to commute through Atlanta, like the three of us do, then you don't get in traffic jams that take up how many hours a week average?
It's like for the average Atlantan, I think they spend around half an hour per trip. Yeah, it's well, and it could be more than that, actually, because I think in Atlanta, the average commute is close to around 30 miles, which is that's a long commute for someone who lives in the city where they're working. It means that a lot of us are not living very close to wherever our offices are.
Mm-hmm.
And on top of that, Atlanta traffic is pretty bad. It does regularly rank in those top cities of bad traffic, cities like Los Angeles
mm-hmm.
or New York or D.C. There are several in the United States that are known as being bad when you're a driver, just for the sense of how much time you're going to spend sitting in traffic. But with the Internet of Things, you could have all these devices that detect changes in traffic and either relay that information to drivers so that they can react proactively and take a different route so that they're no longer at risk of being delayed because of a change in traffic. Or if you pair this with, say, an autonomous car, the cars themselves start to adjust without your input at all, and next thing you know, you're where you need to be. And beyond that, we're talking about improvements that could allow things like dynamic control of traffic signals. So the example I always give is imagine you're driving home at 3 a.m, as the three of us often are doing, because we burn the midnight oil at our office, not because we're all party animals. That's also true, but not material. But you're driving home at 3 a.m, and you get to that infamous traffic stop where the light has turned red and you know you're going to be sitting there for 3 minutes while there's no cross traffic at all. With a truly dynamic system, the traffic components already know you're approaching. They already know there's no traffic coming the other way, and they change all those lights.
They just let you through.
Yeah, so that means at 3 a.m, you have the magical experience of all green lights all the time. So that red lights, when you see them, become a something that's unusual, and hopefully you remember what to do. But more importantly,
well, that same principle could be translated to matters of life and death,
right,
and not just convenience. I mean, if you imagine the problems that a first responder encounters, I don't know if you ever had that experience of you're sitting in traffic at rush hour and nobody's moving, and suddenly behind you, you hear a siren and you see an ambulance coming through and it just can't penetrate.
And there's nothing you can do. There's nothing it can do. Everyone is at a standstill.
Sure. Right. It's just stuck. And you know, in the back of that ambulance, somebody, you know, could be dying, and they have to get through, but they can't. Now imagine if the traffic grid was smart, if the cars were smart, they were all communicating, if the traffic lights were smart, they were all communicating, the grid itself could clear a path because it knows where the first responder needs to go. You'd know before you even heard the siren that it was coming, that you needed to pull over. The traffic lights would know, so they could block off traffic from cross streets.
Yeah, this is truly a matter of life and death. It could mean that it saves lives. The Internet of Things could literally save and prolong life in that fashion. And beyond that, it's something that could also impact on a macro scale our energy use and even our energy production. Lauren, you were telling me about something along those lines.
If railways were smarter, they could use GPS to track trains, also add in the length and the load into the data, and min-max the performance and fuel usage. Also, with the production of energy itself, you could have wind turbines that know when to shut down due to danger from high winds at an individual level. They could be detecting what's going on with the weather. If they start freezing up in the winter, automatically speed up to knock off ice. One wind farm in particular did a study where they input a whole bunch of this smart technology. And over the course of a year, they had about a 3% increase in energy output, which sounds really small until you take into consideration that that's $1.2 million in additional revenue.
Yeah, tiny changes in industries can end up having huge impacts down the road. It can be very simple to sort of write off something where you hear a small percentage, but it means a big change. I mean, especially for something as large as energy production. So you're talking about having this system that can intelligently react to different inputs, whether it's environmental or performance or even a human factor, and be able to adjust so that it's giving the most efficient output. I mean, that's an amazing story. And obviously, once we reach this point in the world, our experiences day to day will be very different, I think, because things like traffic, I can't imagine, what a generation who grows up without traffic would feel like if suddenly there was a traffic jam.
That green light scenario sounds like magic to me.
Yeah, so. It does. Again, Arthur C. Clarke right there saying about as technologies get more sophisticated, they eventually reach a point where they are indistinguishable from magic. And that would be a wonderful world to live in. I do worry about living in a world that would occasionally need a Control-Alt-Delete. Have you tried turning it off and on again? But that to me, the bonuses, the positives about this world are so phenomenal that it would be unthinkable not to pursue them.
Sure, and lots of companies are doing that currently. The GE is calling it the industrial internet right now. IBM has a phrase that they're calling smarter planet. Cisco, of course, has the internet of everything that they keep talking about.
Sure, yeah. So everyone has a different kind of way of summing this up in a little title, but it's all saying the same thing, really.
Yeah, the point is that it's incredibly worthwhile financially and environmentally and socially.
Yeah, so I'm excited to see this world come about. I cannot wait to find out what my own personal reality is going to be, especially considering that I won't have to worry about traffic anymore. I know I go on about that, but really, if you've lived in a place where there's been a lot of traffic, I can you all understand that the idea of no traffic is something that we think is just a fairy tale.
Mm-hmm.
I think we should get in on that, the naming. Right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. We'll have to come up with our own version.
Our own name so we can get in on the ground floor.
Right. Yeah. Well, we'll start brainstorming names for the Internet of Things. I vote Dave, but other names are fully – it's all up to discussion. Just remember, my decision's final, and then we're all good. And, guys, we're going to have this amazing website. It's launching on March 1st, and it's called forwardthinking.com. That's FWThinking.com. At that site, you're going to be able to find copies of our audio podcast. You're going to be able to see the video series, Forward Thinking, which is really amazing. And you're going to be able to read some blog posts written by these two amazing co-hosts of mine. Also, some written by me as well. So I highly encourage you to go to that website, check it out. Once it launches on March 1st, it's really going to be something special. I'm very excited about it. And I'm excited to see the future, guys. Hope you are too.
Yeah.
Lauren
little,
is.
A little bit,
Joe?
Kind of.
Joe?
No doubt.
All right, excellent. We're all in agreement here. I hope you guys are too out there. And we hope to hear from you soon.
For more on this topic and the future of technology, visit forwardthinking.com. Brought to you by Toyota. Let's go places.